Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. This is Greg Presland and I'm on Red Radio. And with me today is my fellow local board chair, Shane Henderson.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. And today in the first, I'm going to interview Shane about what is happening in his part of Waitakere.
All right. Well, swimming pools, of course. That's my favourite topic of all time, so I'll gnaw your ear off about that one.
And in an example of perfect symmetry, Shane is going to interview me about my part of Waitakere as well.
That's right.
I think we're creating a bit of history today.
Yeah, that's right. And I notice in the voice over here it says your local Labour MPs. Well, this is a local government takeover. So there we go. You're going to be excited about that, listeners.
Yeah. And we're your local board chairs.
That's right. Yeah, kia ora. So first and foremost, Greg, I'm going to actually talk to you about your issue. Well, one of your many issues here in the Waitakere Rangers Local Board. But I understand that there is a particular tree growing in Te Tirangi that there's been a few issues about. So maybe introduce that one for us. What's going on?
Yeah, sure. The tree is a magnificent kauri and she has a name, Afiafi, and she lives on Patera Road where she's lived for, there are various estimations, but it may be up to 400 years.
Wow. So longer than you.
Yeah, a little bit longer, yeah.
Right.
And about 4 years ago, Afiafi faced the chop. That inspired a couple of young men to decide to live in her branches for periods of time. And there was a great amount of local interest and international interest, a lot of media attention. And eventually the Afiafi was saved, or at least for a period of time. The matter went to the High Court. The owners, during the High Court process, decided to surrender the consent they had to build on the property, which some people thought would mean that Afiafi would be safe. But there's been Environment Court proceedings happening as well. And recently the Environment Court decided to withdraw an injunction that was in place to protect Afiafi. So her future was again at stake, and there's been lots of recent activity about that.
Yeah, so I remember there was a huge blow-up in the media about 4 years ago about that tree. And so you're saying now that we're right back to square one almost and we're fighting that battle all over again.
We could be. And in some respects, it's got worse now. During the High Court proceedings, there was evidence to suggest that if the owners wanted to build on the site, they would have to build a fairly significant retaining wall. And there are two other kauri right in the road reserve whose future could then be at stake, and they're even more magnificent than Afiafi. So
right.
Rather than lose one great tree, we face the prospect of losing three.
How's your climbing skills, Greg? Just
probably not good enough still, but I've thought about what I should do to try and protect Afiafi, because especially in these days of climate change and kauri dieback, you know, we should be trying to protect every single magnificent kauri that we have.
Sure, and just onto that, I mean, at its sense, it seems like it's a hyper-local issue for the Te Tirangi sort of residents, but in fact, I think it actually says a lot more to the people of Waitakere and actually the people of Auckland. So what do you think about that? How is this fight significant for Auckland?
Auckland's facing a major trouble protecting its trees. Te Tirangi is in a slightly better position because we have a significant ecological area overlay over quite a bit of the area, and that gives some protection. But when you get into the really urban areas, unless a tree has notable status, it can be chopped any time.
Wow. And so this is covered by the SEA or not?
Afiafi was. Again, the background's somewhat complex, but during the unitary plan process, Afiafi itself was taken out of the significant ecological area, and the two kauri that are on the road reserve, one of them was taken out as well.
Yeah, well, and so how do the local residents feel about that? I know we visited some of the local residents there and it was really great to hear their stories, but how do you think people are feeling on the ground?
There is no way that the two roadside trees should be threatened, in my personal view, and people would be really upset if something happened to Afiafi. In terms of notable trees, that one tree probably has more history now and more social mana attached to her than any other tree I can think of.
Right, yeah. I've seen the Titirangi Protection Group, the Facebook group there. Some feeling on there, safe to say.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what can happen about this? What's next? What can we do?
Local board. Last week we passed resolutions, first one by majority, that we're urging council to put the significant ecological area overlay back onto Awhi Awhi. And we unanimously resolved to ask council to put the SEA back on the road reserve kauri.
Sure.
And we've also asked council to urgently deal with applications that were lodged a couple of years ago to give Awhi Awhi notable tree status. That's been held up in the council processes, which have been on hold for a while.
Right. And so on the Waitakere Rangers local board, obviously, you've got quite a record around tree protections and those kind of things. So maybe talk through some of the things that you've done and your team have done on the board.
It's an ongoing issue. We spend a lot of time going through, in general terms, the unitary plan changes, trying to make sure that the bush areas, particularly Titirangi and Titirangi Langholm and all the other areas out, that the tree protection remained. There was worry early on that when the government changed the urban tree rules, that all trees in Titirangi were under threat. But thankfully, through the significant ecological area mechanism, we were able to get the courts to say that, no, they do have some protection. But it's an ongoing battle. It's always one way. It's easy to cut a tree down, but you've got to wait hundreds of years to grow a tree back in its place. So.
Sure thing. Is it possible to build on the land around the tree? I know some people have contacted me around that.
That's part of the problem. It's about 1,500 square metres. There's two sections each, 1,500 square metres. They were designed decades ago by someone in downtown Auckland who just drew a rectangle on a map without appreciating what the local area was like. And so I think physically there's many, many impediments to building anything there, especially something that's big. But just got to keep working through the process and see where we come out.
Sure. And so probably a final question on this in the interest of time. But this is a fascinating topic, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening out there that are very interested in what this means at a central government level. So I know Resource Management Act changes are being flagged by central government. So do you feel that other trees potentially in Auckland could be under threat with the current regime, and what could be done?
Yes, they are, and the sooner that the government changes the RMA, the better. I think they should just go back to the way it was. It's bizarre that we have a system now where you can tell someone that the colour they should use on their houses, but you can't tell someone that they can't cut a tree down. RMA applies to everything but trees. It's just weird.
Thanks. And it feels really good to be talking about an issue of such significance to the West Auckland communities out there, and the wider West Auckland and indeed Auckland as well. A lot of people are very passionate about this. So thanks for sharing that about that issue. But we should probably move on. What's our next topic?
So it's my turn to ask you about an issue very close to your heart, and that's a pull for Henderson Massey.
So now I'm in the hot seat. You okay. Okay. Tell me, what's the question?
Okay. What do you think of it? Do we have, we've got West Wave there right now. Is that enough? And what should we be doing?
Honestly, I probably could talk about this all day. I drive my whole friends and family crazy because I bring up the idea of a Massey pool several times a day and have done for several years. So, it's taking over a significant part of my personality. But be that as it may, the long story short is we have West Wave Pool in Henderson, which is fantastic. Now, that was built for the 1990 Commonwealth Games. So she's an old girl, but she's still performing reasonably well, but really starting to show her age now, and there's significant maintenance on the way for that particular pool. But we have one pool to serve 260,000 West Aucklanders and counting, and you can see it any day of the week. It is packed, 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 and that is a significant drain both on the council coffers from a maintenance side, but also just what it means to live in West Auckland and have a good life here, that we need access to pools and access to these kind of resources that other parts of the city have of right. Well, we don't.
I've seen many of your Facebook posts where you put up photographs of the pull full sign.
That's right.
How often does that happen?
Right. Well, we're recording this, listeners, on a Monday morning, so this is the first day back for school. Yesterday was Sunday and the last day of school holidays, and the line was out the door, as it is every day in school holidays. And you have, honestly, this is a crazy Victorian era thing to see kids crying in a car park because they can't get into a pool and waiting for an hour, 2 hours, standing there. And it could be raining, it could be hot. This is not the kind of Auckland we signed up for. It's absolutely crazy.
And what about the rest of Auckland? Is your perception that other areas have this sort of pressure as well? Or?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily the rest of Auckland's fault, certainly at amalgamation, because particularly parts of South Auckland and you know other areas of Auckland are pretty well serviced, basically, for pools. And those legacy councils really prioritise that in their makeup, and that's fine. But when you sign up to a super city, you're signing up to a network of services and a provision of services that should be reasonably uniform. So what I'm saying is that the city has had nearly 9 years to fix the problem, and we haven't even got started. We haven't even put the chess pieces on the board yet, let alone started the game.
And where should the new pool go?
Well, there's a few competing things around this. There are positions here that a pool should go in Avondale, and it's actually something that I do support. But I really feel that with the current population of Massey and Westgate being tens of thousands of people, we're talking 60, 70,000, 80,000 people already there, and another huge section of Red Hills, and not to mention Kumeu in the northwest and Hobsonville Point, we're talking about huge population here, and in the future we're importing the size of a small city to that part of Auckland, and so therefore we're calling for a pool in Massey to serve that resident community.
Yeah, really the growth is intense in that area, isn't it?
Huge, yes.
Yeah, I know, just from the northwestern motorway, it's just getting more and more clogged every day, and it's clear evidence more people are living there.
That's right, and the best bit is that we've thrown huge amount of public and private money into Westgate, and there's still plenty of places to put a pool there, so let's get started.
Okay, sounds good.
No worries.
It's going to be one of your central themes for your council campaign, is it?
Look, I think it's fair to say that it is the central theme of the campaign. You know, we've got plenty of other themes too, but goodness me, you know, Greg and I were out door knocking in Henderson recently. People there couldn't stop telling us about, they just don't go to Henderson pools anymore because the lines are too crazy, and we need more infrastructure to take the pressure off. I can't even walk down a street anymore without someone coming up to me and saying, where's our pool in Massey? Well, that's what we're promising as a campaign, basically.
Mm. Actually, it's probably a good opportunity to morph into your second issue.
That's right.
Because that relates to infrastructure in Henderson and whether it's adequate or not.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah, So intensification, it's on the way, isn't it?
We hope so. Henderson's an interesting place. You know, people out there listening that are not from West Auckland, you'll probably find West Auckland to be quite unique. Unique people, unique place. We are probably one of the only communities in Auckland that are saying, please build lots of housing here. You know, parts of Auckland, especially in the city, saying, look, we want to preserve the character of our neighbourhood and we don't like intensification. You know, that's fair enough. Horses for courses, as they say. But my community, over a number of years, have been pushing for intensification, particularly in Henderson, but along the rail corridor, so that we can revitalise our town centres and we can promote things like local economic development. We can just make these places a much more interesting place to live.
Yeah. It's something about the ethos of eco-city, isn't it?
That's right.
In Glen Eden and my part of West Auckland, we've had the 10 Manson apartments been built recently, two 10-storey tower blocks. And when they first appeared, I thought that there could be considerable local pushback against it. And there has been concern, but it hasn't been at the sort of writing on the street sort of concern. It's people are worried about it, but they realise that if you're going to protect the Waitaki Ranges and not build all the way out to Piha, then you've got to condense and consolidate.
That's right.
And it's the better urban form too. If you want a properly sustainable city, then yeah, you've got to have people living on your rail station so that they don't need to drive.
Absolutely, it's a modern city. As you go to any city in the world that's doing the right thing, that's what they're doing. But the other thing, it's an interesting point, Greg, because West Aucklanders out there will know there is a clear difference for us between concern, which is fairly common, and pushback. So when you get pushback in West Auckland, you get protests. You get people on the streets of Henderson holding up signs. I've seen that before. So I'm expecting that there will be some concern. There always is, because it's part of a community discussion. The concern, I think, will be more centred on, is this housing that we asked for right for us? And is it in the right place and in the right form? So part of our campaign and part of when we are councillors, we'll be talking to the community regularly about how they see things and how they see Henderson's future going forward.
And what about the local business sector? How do they feel about the developments? I know, for Glen Eden, they're quite receptive to it because they can see increased population, greater demand for services, makes businesses more viable, and that they think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I have to give a sort of a brief shout out to our Henderson Business Association there. We've got a really great relationship. We sit down and have coffees all the time and talk about local issues of the day. And goodness me, they're pumped. They're pumped. The Business Association absolutely love the idea, I understand, of importing more people in because it's more consumers for them. But, you know, they're not just business owners. They're also people that want to live and work in a nice, exciting town. And, you know, Henderson's already exciting, but we've got a beautiful future ahead, and they're right on board with that, and I'm really appreciative to them for that. How is the Glen Eden stuff going with the tower things and all that stuff? What's going on there?
Oh, very good. The last I heard was they're hoping to open September, October.
Wonderful.
Looks like they might be slightly beyond behind their timeline, but no, the towers are up now and they're at the stage where they're starting to fill them out and do the inside. So,
well, that's great. How many more people are you going to expect in Glen Eden Town Centre?
160 units, probably average 2 per unit, so 320.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I love Glen Eden. What a town. Beautiful. Yeah.
In terms of Henderson, how many towers are we talking about there and what sort of population change?
Yeah, well, we're not quite far down that path yet. We are redeveloping on Henderson Valley Road right next to Henderson High School in what used to be called the Wilshire Village site, which you were a councillor in Waitakere, you might know that one.
Yes,
very well.
Very well.
Yes. So we have, I think it's 40 from memory, older adults housing going in there, and enveloped sort of around it with housing predominantly for families and first-time buyers. And just in that development alone, we're expecting about 200 or 300 people. But as a local board, we're saying, look, we've got land in Henderson. We've got a one-level council fleet parking right in the centre of town, which is half empty all the time. You know, that's crazy. What a crazy use of land.
That's where I park.
Yeah, well, sorry, mate.
I catch the train most times now anyway, so.
Hey, good on you. That's the way to do it. It was quite funny, actually. So the Western Leader covered this, and just a shout-out to the Western Leader, doing a great job there. They covered the Henderson intensification issue on the front page, and they took an aerial photo of Henderson and that exact car park around the train station. And I think they must have done it on a Sunday morning because there was no cars there at all. I say it is accurate most of the time, but it was quite a lucky break, I think. You've got wastes of land there, which is not, it's car parking that's not even accessible for local residents and local businesses. And so even the businesses are saying, hang on, we need a study to look at what car parking we can use and what our needs are. And so working together with the business association is really important there. There's plenty of places we could put housing and we could maximise the use of that land. And that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask, I've been going to Henderson for decades now and it's looking just a little bit tired, and I'd sort of have always worried about the staging of West City.
Mm.
That West City was opened a few years ago. You know, the decisions were made last decade.
Mm.
But West City was opened a few years ago and there hasn't quite been the population to maintain the two centres.
Right.
And we've sort of got the commercial in place before we had the residential, and the timing just doesn't quite feel right.
Yeah, Henderson's in an interesting place, actually. So when I first took office in 2013, one of the reasons why I stood for election in the whole first place was because I'd lived around the area and I'd worked in Henderson my entire life. And it was in a serious state of decline. We had, you know, homeless, desperate people everywhere that definitely needed help. We had businesses shutting up their doors and boarding them up. And it was, you know, it was terrifying. And I thought, you know, I've got to be part of the solution here and I've got to try and change things. That was one of the reasons why I stood for election. Now in 2019, we're starting to see a turnaround. There's smiles on their people's faces again. Shops are being filled. That's really fantastic. But I'd say that council needs to keep that momentum going and work with business associations for that. But also come to the party and look at ways that we can, on our side, improve Henderson and make it even better and make it a good place, make it an even better place to live and work. So there's a hell of a lot to be done, but we've started.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, just to change tack a little bit, we talked about pool, which is, you know, my segue into water. So I understand there's been a few community meetings about water care. You know, tell me, is there any issues about water care in your area?
It's been an interesting part all term. Water care are in the process of applying for resource consent to replace the old Waimar station, which is just about 100 years old now and is obviously in need of some sort of rejuvenation. The proposal has caused a great deal of upset locally. The plan is that they would cut down around about 4 hectares of bush and also a number of prominent kauri, which are situated so that they could put a reservoir in. Been a lot of local pushback against that. There's a community liaison group which has been meeting regularly and providing feedback to water care. They originally had a plan to do the 4 hectares clearance in the kauri. They've come back to us with an amended proposal recently, which is an improvement. It doesn't go far enough to keep everyone happy, but it's good to see that they are at least thinking about the issue. And the improvement would mean that they would no longer be building in a clump of fairly mature kauri, but they would have a reservoir shifted to a slightly different place and placed mostly underground so that it couldn't be seen.
Mm.
And they would then build a second reservoir on the existing site, so there'd be recycling of what they have right now. So all things go back to kauri.
Right.
I agree, Ward.
They do. And why not? That's what it means to be a West Aucklander, right?
It does.
Yeah.
I guess the water care probably had fears of multiple people climbing multiple kauri and living there for a while.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, we've got listeners here and 80% of them have enjoyed a walk in the Waitakere Ranges and the other 20%, you know, when they open up over time, they should go and do it too. That's cool, right?
So the latest proposal is an improvement. Yeah. I'm sure it won't keep everyone happy.
Mm.
The local board, we've put a proposal them to think about another site. It's where they dump the residue from the cleaning process right now. And for operational reasons, they say that they can't do it there. But it's something that we're going to keep talking to them about.
Okay. So it's been quite a journey here. How did it all start?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, going back to the first reasons why I got into local government was all about trees, actually.
I know.
It was back in 2001 when the Go Waitakere Group controlled council and they wanted to get subdivision of the ranges put through. And so I was part of the group that was formed to oppose that.
Goodness me.
Yeah. So
did the room just get a lot colder or something? That's terrifying.
Oh, there was quite advanced plans too. Thankfully, they didn't have the technical skills to do what they wanted to, but they were certainly intent, and they stirred up a huge backlash against what they were doing.
Yeah. Wow. But it didn't go anywhere, did it?
No. I was part of Team West, and before the election, they had the majority on council. After election, every single one of their councillors was voted out of office.
Wow.
And they lost all the community boards. They had one person who was re-elected to one community board, and that was it.
Yeah, so I guess it goes to show that the public mandate is always key, and when you're doing things that the public like, they keep you on.
Yep, yeah. And Waitakere, they like people to be slightly stroppy about things and protective of their environment, because that's why we live there.
Sure do. Good on them too. Yeah. So I get, that's really important. That's really cool to hear the importance of kauri and tree protection and forest protection. So going back to this water care issue, so the current proposal, what are we looking in terms of trees? How does that fit ecologically and environmentally?
The site of the new station itself, it's 4 hectares. It's low to medium quality bush mostly, but there is some pockets of high quality bush, so it's not good.
Okay.
And the reservoir was going to be in high quality bush, but it's now been moved to low to medium quality bush.
Right. And so have they cast around the area to try and find a good site for these things?
Yeah, originally they looked at about 40 or 50 different sites.
Right.
And one of them was the Oratea site, which, again, God bless Westies, provoked a huge community backlash in opposition to it and a great campaign. And that's why they're no longer, or that's one of the reasons they're no longer there.
Right. Yeah, and so that's an interesting thing. So what's your sense of the public reaction to the current proposals?
It's still opposed. The one advantage Watercare has here is they have a historic designation where they have a right under the district plan to do water treatment type activities.
Mm.
So the special designation means that the resource consent process is not so difficult for them.
Right, okay. So we're on the spectrum here. Are we at concern or are we at backlash or somewhere in between?
Certainly for parts of the community, backlash.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay.
So, and they're moving on their consent. It's better, but it's not at a position where people would accept it.
Mm.
So we'll just have to see how that process goes.
And why is this all needed? Why are they doing this in the first place?
The old station is on its last legs.
Mm.
And the reservoirs would mean that they could increase the throughput of water by about 10%.
Okay.
So it's allowing for growth as well.
So our water infrastructure at the moment, it's not able to cope for the future needs of Auckland? Or?
Not with the rate of growth, no. They're going to have to pump more and more Waitakere water to Auckland as time goes by.
Mm. And I understand Council have been embarking on a water strategy. Have you guys been across that?
Yes, we have. It's good at a general level, but it's these infrastructure decisions where the real changes are made.
Sure, of course. I was very happy to see that they're actually doing it. That's a good thing. And yeah, I agree that the general principles seem fine. As they say, the devil's in the detail, but you just kind of work that through with the community as you go.
Yep.
So you mentioned an old site's on its last legs. Is renovating that site an option? Or?
Only if they closed it and then rebuilt and then opened it up again, which would mean I think it's about 15% of Auckland's water would be out of commission for a couple of years.
Water restrictions for several years.
Yeah, or bringing forward the pumping of Waikato water, but the sums apparently don't add up.
Okay, fair enough. So that's a challenging thing for those communities out there in Waitakere. So do we have a way forward?
See what the resource consent looks like, and then it's going to be notified. Everyone will be entitled to present and make their views known. So awesome. We just have to see how that works through.
Awesome. Well, good luck with that, Greg. May I just say, of course I'm going to say this, but I think you guys are doing a fantastic job over there in Waitakere Rangers. And
sounds you guys.
Like, you're too nice. But yeah, it sounds like there's some really challenging issues there. And good on you guys for working closely with those communities affected to sort of get into it.
Shows the diversity of our communities that I've talked about trees and water, and you've talked about urban renewal and buildings.
Well, West Auckland's a complicated place.
And pools.
That's right. And on that note, we're about to get the outro here, so we probably should say goodbye. See you later, guys.
Tēnā koutou.
Tēnā koutou. Thank you.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/RedAlertRadio.